Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by special guest Ethan Taylor.
Woo! Hello, happy to be back and better than ever.
Mr. Video Games. Oh yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Ethan was on the brink of death in Thumb Cramps, but today he couldn't be more alive.
I'm right.
He is
high.
Our Christ-like figure. Yeah, that's true.
Today, Ethan will be looking at Halo Infinite multiplayer beta and other games.
Ethan looked like he was about to do a huge yell. Like he was away from the mic, like he was going to be like, "Hey!"
I remembered I live in a very quiet neighborhood.
Yeah, that's cool.
That would cause problems.
This is a nothingy story, but Jackson, I feel like that you will find it interesting, and no one, including every single person that is listening to this podcast, will find it interesting.
Just a tale for Jackson. That's
do
good.
Tell.
Yeah.
My parents live in a very quiet estate, and I remember when I was a teenager and walking home with, it was like the first time I'd taken my high school girlfriend to my house.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Wow, this estate is really quiet." And I was like, "Yeah." And then someone in their house sneezed, and we heard it, but we were walking down a hill.
That's great.
So far away from the house.
That's
like,
as in,
it wasn't, it was like three streets over.
I did love that story. Thank you.
And then she was like,
"I enjoyed it too."
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That was crazy. And yeah, then I was like, "Yeah, I told you, quiet neighborhood."
Dox your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should.
Where are
they? My parents.
See how they're doing.
How funny would it be if I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'll dox my parents," and then reveal one of your addresses?
Oh no.
And we can't say anything because then we'd be admitting that it's our addresses.
Yeah. I don't think you know scary. Where I live. I know Jackson definitely doesn't know where
I
live.
Oh, I got no clue.
He doesn't know a thing about me.
Yeah, you're an infinite mystery to me. That's just God's honest.
Anyway, doxing aside, Ethan.
Yeah.
Halo.
The worst kept secret in gaming is that there was a Halo Infinite multiplayer beta coming on Tuesday the
Xbox/Halo 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I think it was leaked by a Pringles can. like, honest to God.
That there rolls.
Was a label on a Pringles can and everyone's like, "What?"
Then so it was did the label have the dates as well?
Yeah, what was I think the deal? Something about it. I don't know. I just remember that there was a big meme about Pringles can leak in Halo. And people
awesome.
Making summoning circles with a Pringles can in the middle. Just praying for Halo to come early.
That
by
rules.
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy of an early thing.
I like it.
They call it a beta, but it's like, surely the game's done, right?
Yeah, okay.
Presumably
it comes out December 8th.
Yeah, presumably they're just calling it a beta in case there is like some matchmaking stuff. Or, we'll get to this because there is a thing that people hate that is in this. Well, not hate, but they're like, this could be better.
Yeah, I absolutely loathe.
All right.
Yeah.
I reckon they've given themselves enough time that if anything like that pops up, Like, obviously, yeah, no, like, level designs or stuff like that, but, like, potentially maybe an experience system.
Yeah, something about that.
Maybe, I'll go into detail. Maybe if everyone hates that because you don't potentially get extra XP for things like a double or a triple kill, but you get XP for, like, dumber shit.
It's
Maybe they could fix
that. I hate it. I got worse for that. Maybe... I got worse for 343 Industries. I'm picking fights
catch
today.
That's what's happening.
But I will say, the game is good.
Yeah.
I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
Halo multiplayer is back. It is good.
Does it feel like the classic Halo multiplayer? Like,
I have not had more fun in a multiplayer game, like, in years.
All right. So let's do a quick test. So at the time of recording, the game's been out for like two and a half, 3 days. How many hours you put in?
I have 15.2 hours.
Yes. So we're averaging 5 hours a day at this point. Yeah. That's
me
huge.
And my friends have been averaging 1:30 to 2 a.m. like sleep times. Mm-hmm. We have been playing all night, every night for the last few nights. It was crazy.
This was Quake and not Halo, so I could ask if you'd done Awaken Quake.
That would be
Awaken
good.
Halo.
I mean,
have you woken up first thing in the morning and been like, right, time to log in?
I have done a bit of that.
Yes!
I think the first day I definitely did that. I woke up, installed it, and played it all day. It was mad.
Like, yeah.
Was this, what was the last, did you play the previous multiplayer on the previous Halo?
I think I played Reach multiplayer, and I played a bit of 3 multiplayer. Okay. I don't have many memories of 3 multiplayer. I mean, it was 2007. I was, what, 11?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, if you want to feel old. I don't know, 12? Like, no.
I was...
2007.
Yeah,
God, no, I was way younger.
Yeah.
I was like 9.
2007. We were 16.
Yeah. Yep. I was playing...
Sucks for you, dude.
Probably with your dick and balls, hey.
Yeah, probably balls and dick. Yeah, I was probably playing with my balls and dick, yeah.
You had the Xbox Rumble controller.
Yeah, exactly. I probably put the Xbox Rumble controller underneath me like an egg and just like let it go.
let Master Chief get shot over and over and over again.
So that I might achieve glorious orgasm, yeah.
Like Master Chief would want.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I played, like, so much. Like, that was just the multiplayer game of my youth, really, was Halo. Certainly first Halo.
Halo 2 got a thrashing solely because they were like, what if you could carry 2 guns at the same time? And I was like,
insane.
Yeah, I guess this could be the greatest game of all time, yeah.
The Halo game I played the most multiplayer of, funnily enough, would be the first one, Combat Evolved, because that was installed on our school PCs. For whatever reason. So we would just be playing that all the time.
Big at my high school too. My high school were like, hey, congratulations everyone. You're graduating in 2009, which is a million years ago.
Yeah,
you're one of the five.
Yeah.
That sucks to think about and hear. Yes.
You're one of the first year levels to have your own personal laptops and you can use them in class. Don't play video games. And we said, okay, and immediately installed Halo.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike 1.6 and some other game. Doesn't matter. Those are the big ones, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, this definitely feels like it's got a lot of Combat Evolved's energy in it. Oh, just in the vibe. It feels classic Halo in art style. It really feels like a purification of the Halo sort of experience. The whole Halo Infinite thing, I guess, is them just going, let's just make the best Halo and just make the most Halo's ever been. And it absolutely is that. Because you got a lot of the classic games and stuff.
I just realized it's 20 years of Halo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just hit me like a boss.
Bad, right?
Yeah, that sucks.
So you would have been like 10 when Halo came out and the Xbox came out.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
God. Yeah, I was 2.
Wow.
That is
that's
bad.
Full on. I don't like that this is... Ethan's review of Halo Infinite and Minor Douche's horrible existential crisis.
The review of mortality.
30 was fine until I thought about it for too long.
Oh, it's bad to think about being 30, dude.
It's a cool-looking number. Bad feeling age.
Do it again and you're 60, dude. One more call than we just did, and we're 60. And then another E, and we're 90, and then kaput. That's it.
Well, alternatively, 10 more years, 40. Think about a 40-year-old now. Think about how old they still seem.
Oh, it's bad, dude. It's bad to think about and comprehend. Yeah.
You've got 10 years to have literally everything sorted so that the next 40 years we just coast on everything we've done in the last 40. Yeah.
And I've done nothing, dude.
Do you think Jackson's going to know how to drive in the next 10 years?
Nah. I'll be hit by a bus in the next 10 years. That's what's coming.
For anyone who isn't aware, Jackson doesn't have his driver's license, but he has failed his driving test once, and that was enough. Because he was just like,
to put you like off
well,
forever.
No one can be angry at me for not being able to drive, because I tried. I legitimately tried.
I did my best.
And unfortunately, I didn't pass the test, so I'll just never rebook, because that was nearly 3 years ago.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That's crazy.
If you don't succeed, too bad.
If you don't succeed, it's fine. You had a crack. Never try again.
No one can blame you.
Hey, Ethan.
Yeah?
You got your license?
Nah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
This is your future, Ethan.
I'm becoming you.
Yeah, in 7 years, this is what you're going to look like.
My God.
Now it's Ethan's mortality. He's looking into a mirror that reflecting what 7 years in the future looks like, and it's not good.
It isn't. It's bad. It's grim.
Oh, yeah, Halo. Yeah,
everyone's mortality aside.
we got our classic games. We got our Slayer. We got our Capture the Flag. We got some control point business going on. Mm-hmm. There's this weird game mode where you got to collect energy cells, and you can steal energy cells, and there's energy cells, and I don't understand it, but I'm pretty okay at it.
What's the vehicle roster? That's what I'd like to know.
Oh, yeah, like, there's... you know, the classic warthogs, you got the mongoose, like the variants, like the gun goose and the bulldog and stuff. And what do they call the one with the rockets? Is it just a rocket hog?
I know the one you mean.
That's insane. Yeah. No, yeah, you got the wasp, which is like a little mini plane copter thing.
There's two vehicles that you haven't said yet that I'm starting to get a bit stressed about not being. Okay, ghosts?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting to the Covenant. There's a big... There's a ghost.
Oh, okay.
There's a wraith.
Yeah,
and they're cool and red. Ooh, I don't know if that has something to do with the campaign. I think they're like the Banished Covenant or whatever they're called. Whatever descriptor they've attached in front of it to make them sound eviler. But it's all super cool. The gameplay feels so refined and addictive. It's mad. Like, 15 hours speaks for itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so funny that everyone seems to be on board with it so hard, considering when they announced it, everyone was like, we hate Halo Infinite. Xbox explode and die.
The smartest thing they did was make it free.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because everyone's like, I mean, everyone's got a little Halo switch in their brain. And when they see Halo dropped, it flicks. And they give it a go.
Yeah.
And then they never stop.
Yeah. Except Jackson, who was Jackson. Yeah, probably not, eh?
Yeah. Within 2 hours, this game on Steam had 275,000 people playing it at the same time.
Wow.
Hey, that's a lot.
Wow, that's heaps of guys. Yeah.
So it was very easy to find matches. Mm. And that's good because, like, they've got their quick play system, which is a 4v4 sort of classic stuff in smaller maps.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this was in previous ones much, but the best fun I've had is in the big team battle, which is 12v12 for a total of 24 players on the field.
Jesus.
And it's chaotic.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got like capture points or capture the flag, where there's 24 people in the one confined spot, and there's just particles and explosions and bullets and a warthog ramming through a group of people.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what's the map sizes? Because surely when you have, like, a larger amount of people, like, you would want to maybe expand the size of the map a little
24
bit.
24 people on Blood Gulch.
Yeah,
well, I mean, Blood Gulch is pretty big.
Yeah, Blood
Gulch
just kind of would probably be fine, but like, I know there are some, I forget what it is, I think it's a Halo 2 multiplayer map where it's just like this, like two floating kind of weird towers.
Yeah, the two towers with the launch pads.
Yeah,
that's sort of the size of the big maps.
Oh, okay.
The small maps are really confined with a lot of hallways and layers and stuff, and it's really sort of quite complex layout-wise, and that leads to very interesting gameplay. But the big maps and stuff, they are quite confined compared to like Blood Gulch and that, but you do get sprint.
Oh, okay. Oh, that is good.
Sprint isn't like a power-up or anything. That's just locked into the game, so the maps are a bit bigger.
Yeah.
But the power-ups and stuff, there's quite a cool traversal one they've added, which is the grappling hook.
Love a grappling
hook. I don't know how to use it properly.
It's great. It's been the real big change to video games in the last, like,
absolutely.
5 years. Is they're like, Far Cry's we'll give you a grappling hook.
Just Cause is doing it.
Everybody gives you a little grappling hook.
Batman and it's great.
Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time's doing it.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you shoot and use a grapple hook at the same time?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I just get flustered in the moment of not knowing how to use it to where I just get shot immediately while I'm doing it. I don't know if you can drop off while moving.
Yeah.
I just freeze until I land.
Yeah, that's fair. Smart.
What? That's another thing I wanted to ask. And I don't think it's so bad if there's none of this, but like, is there like, is it they've collated the best of the past Halo games in terms of like everything? Like it's the best weapons, it's the best vehicles, it's the best power-ups, or is there like new stuff that's been added as well? I think either way would be fine, but like is what's the innovation here? Is it just a perfection of the old game, or
it's been a mix. Like there's some weapons I don't recognize. I don't know if they're from like 4 and 5 or something. But there's
true, there are two Halo games no one knows.
Yeah, no one knows.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Apparently 5 had really good multiplayer. But
I didn't know that.
Is it friend of the show Adam that claims that Halo went anime in Halo 4?
That sounds like an insane claim he'd make. He's a huge Halo boy. The biggest.
He is a big Halo
But he's such a big Halo boy that I saw some listeners probably not to this, but to like other shows in the Sandman's network, were like, Adam, are you going to play Halo Infinite multiplayer? And he's the kind of Halo boy who is like, yeah, I'm never very interested in the multiplayer of the Halo games. He's in it for the story. Which is
he's
so
in
funny
it for
to me.
The books.
But that's absolutely he's playing Halo for the articles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's classic Adam.
Because like we have two people on the Sandspins Radio Network that feel very similarly about Halo and own Halo books, and that is Adam Carnivale and Alexi Toliopoulos.
and I don't think they've ever met. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think
maybe
if they did
met
meet,
online on
yeah,
forums.
True.
Yeah, they did
Halo
know.
Guy 420 and Halo 16 X69 Halo Guy X69X.
Yeah, meeting online and
those
and
were meant to be secret, douche.
Yeah, now you've talk about doxing. But yeah, no, that is the way you're talking about it definitely makes me want to get it. Like the reason that I didn't get it previous is that. Like, I kind of figured I'd be getting it eventually because I assumed that all of y'all would be playing it. But I was like, when people bug me to do it, then I'll play it. But
consider
you're talking about it
this
now.
Right now.
This is the bugging. Even without it.
Open up Steam.
I'm not going to get it on Steam. No. I'm getting it through the Xbox Game Pass.
Why?
So it's free.
It is free.
On Steam.
It is free.
But I have Halo. I have Xbox Game Pass open here. Fine.
Install
Steve's
it now.
Consistent.
It's like a 30 gig game. You're recording a podcast over Zoom.
Install it now.
It'll be fine.
If we get issues, we can fill in for him.
It's fine.
You doing it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. It's going to be okay. You tell me if it goes wrong.
Yeah. Okay, deal. And any freezes or pauses that happen, usually I'd edit them out, but this time,
leave them in.
This point onwards, I'm leaving them in.
Might make it look bad.
Just to make it look like I was right.
How many thumbs are we talking, Ethan, for Halo Infinite multiplayer beta?
I gotta say, I'll give Halo Infinite multiplayer beta 5 out of 5 thumbs. It's a stellar experience.
That's good.
Super fun. I'm excited to play for years to come. But.
Oh my God.
As we mentioned earlier,
this
is a free online multiplayer game. which means it's got to have a battle pass, baby, don't it? A battle pass, which I have bought for $15 Australian.
Nice.
My friend bought it.
Did
like
you say $70 Australian?
$15 Australian.
Oh, okay. $15. Woof. Okay, that's not too bad. That's
my friend woof. Bought the battle pass, and I'm like, all right, I'll do it too. If you're going to do it, I'll do it, and we'll progress through. The XP system in this game is god-awful and harms the game.
Wow. How does it work? What's the... Yeah.
So there's weekly and daily challenges. This has since been changed like today and yesterday to be improved, and they're further improving it. But as of playing it, there's like daily and weekly challenges, which are like get 10 pistol kills, get a kill with the ghost's cannons, run a person over with a warthog, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. A player do this in this map. And... Yeah. It's the only way to get XP to the point where people are actively playing against the objective to progress the battle pass they paid money for.
That sucks.
It's this artificial obstacle that they've put in to incentivize their XP boosts, which cost currency, which cost real money. And it's sort of scummy. Wow. But they have since changed it to where you get 50 XP for just playing a match every time.
Yeah. Okay. That's
which isn't
good.
Enough, because if I'm playing a game and considering, I found I'm pretty good at Halo, which is fun.
Hell yeah.
It makes it fun for me.
That's
and I
good.
End the match with 8 medals of like, I get triple kill, I get a couple double kills, I get all these little things that they give you medals for. And before they added that 50 XP default, nothing could pop up.
Yeah.
You could just be playing awesomely, you could win, you could absolutely
shit
the MVP and no progression happens.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it
shit.
Feels awful.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I understand that the daily and weekly challenges should be weighted more heavily. So, like, you don't want a triple. So, say a daily, like, let's just hypothetically say a daily challenge is worth 100 XP.
Yeah.
You have like a double kill is like 5 or 10, and then triple is maybe like 10 or 20.
Yeah. Like, you
and,
could
like,
give
I get
me
that.
Cents on the dollar.
Yeah,
for like double kills and triple kills. But I'll be getting them as I go, and it's like at least there's something on top
absolutely.
Of it for my ability to play well and play to the objective of the match sort of thing.
Yeah, like it's with like any of those battle passes, you just need that little something to pop up on the screen and a little noise to activate that Skinner box
it
in your head.
Itches my brain, yeah.
Yeah, to be, oh, okay, I'm progressing. Like,
I'm
goddamn,
doing good.
Sea of Thieves has a battle pass, which I only ever signed up to once, and then I was like, why'd I do that? But like, but that every little tiny thing gives you a tiny amount of XP.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so just as you're playing the game, just suddenly you'll do something and you'll, oh, hey, I unlocked like 1,000 gold and I'm at level 2 now or whatever. It's just like there's
that's
tiny
awesome.
Little incentive. That's all you need. That's all you need.
Yeah. Well, so if you don't get the battle pass, is there an XP system in the game at all?
There is a free leveling system. I don't know what you get from it, but I think you just unlock things way quicker if
in battle pass.
You have the battle pass.
What do
you unlock things
unlock
every level.
What are the things you unlock?
Cosmetics. So like you get skin sort of like color palettes, and you get like armor pieces and like helmet stuff. But that's also stuff you can buy in the store. Sometimes.
Okay.
This is like the free progression part. The thing is like, there is 100 levels to this season's battle pass.
Ooh, I thought you meant 100 stages for a second, and I was like, that is insane.
There's 100 levels, and people sort of calculated the average XP people are getting, and like it would take 6 months of playing.
Far out.
To hit level 100.
Yeah.
This battle pass wraps up in May.
Yeah.
So it seems sort of deliberate. I mean, this is a long season, and I think they've stalled progression at the start and made it as slow as possible.
Yeah.
Because they don't have much content ready.
Smart.
They don't have much to go off of. Because, like, if the whole battle pass is like, pay $15 and grind 100 hours to get, like, you know, some color palettes and helmets, is that,
I hope.
Yeah. There's only like.
Seasons. Lead more into like what Fortnite is doing, and like next season it's like get to level 50 and unlock the Johnny English skin. Play as Johnny English.
Add madness to this. I think they're holding back a lot at the moment. Like there's only maybe eight maps, like four small, four big, because I think a lot of them rely on
still
the campaign.
Yeah.
Maybe some secret spoilery areas that they're waiting to add. But I think, like, yeah, you know, they're doing the seasons thing. As it goes on, there's going to be more maps, there's going to be more skins, there's going to be more stuff. You can, like, customize the color palettes for the vehicles and everything and the weapons.
That's cool.
It's super mad.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are those, like, the armor pieces and stuff, do they really make you look unique compared to the other players?
Not really, because everyone's progressing at the same rate. And as soon as you get a new thing, you just slap it on.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone's
and there's a bunch
it,
of free yeah. players who are just using, you know, the default armor, and maybe there's a couple color changes, but everyone keeps the default green because I look like Master Chief.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I guarantee you that I will not be green. I will be,
yeah.
I don't know.
I've got this
red
mad
or blue,
like pure white armor with like red and blue accents. It's like the free one in the store, so like
a lot
of the people get it, but it looks sick. So I'm just keeping it forever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not giving any money for it. They got esports skins, like skins based off esports teams, and I'm avoiding that like the plague.
Maybe I'll buy an esports one. No. Maybe
like
that's
2,000 credits and like 2,000.
How much
credits,
is that
just, like,
in Earth money?
I don't know, like $15, $20.
Jesus,
stupid.
I'd spend that on a goddamn hot dog. I'll buy an esports.
No, you wouldn't. You would not spend $20 on a hot dog. You liar. Absolute
but he would.
Liar.
He would.
But I would.
Spend $20
but
on
I would,
dog.
Ethan. If I
if
had
it was
the
an
chance.
Esports hot dog.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If it wrote out FaZe Clan and mustard or whatever.
Yeah. I'd be all over that hot dog. That's all I'd eat from now on if there were esports hot dogs.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
If there was a Halo skin that just said Dota 2, I'd wear that.
In real life, you'd wear
If there
that.
Was a Halo Infinite skin that just said Halo 3 on it.
Oh, that would be huge.
It's just the box art projected
yeah.
onto it.
Like projected in a way where it's stretched and doesn't look good
like
at all. Yeah.
The front, the back's a mirror of the front and the sides are just a stretched mass.
Yes. God, yes.
The same way
I'd
that,
pay
like,
$20
in the-
for that.
Yeah, the same way that in the mid-2000s, if any game on PC, people could hack the character models and just change them to whatever they wanted.
Absolutely.
Just like that.
Yeah.
God, the dream.
I wish this game gets workshop support.
Oh my God.
Like Left
that
Dead.
Would rule.
It would never happen, but
yeah,
not
a million years.
It'd be mad.
Because it's a Microsoft game and not a Steam game.
Yeah.
I'm glad they put it on Steam, though. It definitely helped get to that play account.
Smart. Well, I guess because like they're charging at the moment $90 Australian for the Halo Infinite campaign.
I'm getting that on Game Pass. God.
Oh yeah.
So that'll probably be. If I was to hazard a guess, I reckon the Halo campaign will be 6 to 8 hours.
It's either long or nothing.
Yeah.
It'll either be 6 to 8 hours or 25 hours with way too much padding.
Yeah, because like they've had we've got to remember they've had a whole extra year on this game.
I reckon they just focused on making it not look like it came out on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, not look like garbage. I mean, it is a pretty incredible feat that this game looks spectacular on PC. I'm playing on PC. Looks spectacular on PC.
Yep.
Looks amazing on the Series S, which my friend is playing on. And it runs all the way down to the 1S.
Oh, man.
And the base That's Xbox crazy. One, which came out in 2013 and was underpowered at launch.
Wow.
I have an Xbox One S. Maybe I should have got it on that. Oh, well.
True.
You also have a computer.
I have a computer.
Yeah.
I've also got a Nintendo Wii, but unfortunately that doesn't run
they
anything.
They didn't bring it out on
That's
the,
unfortunate.
Yeah, the Wii.
Yeah,
tragically.
The Wii. Yeah.
I reckon I'm going to get the E-United skin. I was looking through. That's
how's
be
your download
choice.
Going, Jackson?
Yeah.
It's doing great, dude. It's on 16%.
Oh my God.
That actually is
I wonder
pretty
if
good.
This will be like almost done by the time the episode ends.
Could be the case.
Could be. So I've just had a quick look on how long to beat. Obviously, Halo Infinite's not there yet because it doesn't exist yet. First Halo, 10 hours. Halo 2, 8 hours. Halo 3, 8 hours. Halo 4, 7.5 hours. Halo 5, 8 hours. ODST, 6.5 hours. Reach, 8 hours.
Yeah. I think you're on the money.
Yeah, I reckon you're right.
thing I'll give you, though, is they're planning to support this game for like a decade or something insane.
Jesus.
And there's going to be multiple campaigns. I think they mentioned like maybe four or five different
campaigns.
That's cool.
Jesus Christ.
That's the story of Halo, which
I guess that's kind of the direction a lot of games are going in. Just that, like, here's the base game and you're just going to get seasons, basically.
Yeah. I kind of like that for Halo.
Especially me too. I think
like
that works.
If they knock it out of the park and it just feels like good old classic vibe Halo.
Yeah.
Give me four more of those. I'll get them.
Absolutely. Like, you can't go wrong with it. That
absolutely.
Rules.
Jeez. Well.
Yeah. Battle Pass, one thumb out of five at the moment. Maybe
feckle,
maybe
feckle.
Two. But the game, God, it's good.
What if they added a battle boss to Halo? Yeah. Would that make the Battle Pass better?
I don't.
I think so. I say yes.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
John 117 is driving the battle bus, and when you jump out, you got to say thank you, driver, or whatever.
But because Master Chief is in Fortnite now, does that mean Naruto is now in the Halo universe?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Ariana Grande exists in, in Halo.
Halo, yeah. That's cool.
So does June.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's mad.
That's awesome. That's real good.
Maybe Fortnite is the best video game of all time.
Why aren't we playing Fortnite?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good time to get into playing Fortnite, Dusha.
I reckon
maybe
it's
that's what I'm hearing.
Is it a good time to get into Fortnite?
I think it's a good time
to get
into Fortnite.
Time to get into
I think
Fortnite.
It's the best time, really, at the moment.
It's today.
Listeners, write in. Is it a good time to get into Fortnite?
Yeah, let us know. Is it a good time to get into Fortnite now that you can be Rick and Morty or the Master Chief or whatever?
Yeah,
or Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Paul from June.
Yeah, a tree.
Pre-wormification.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. Anyway, email us at thumbcramspot@gmail.com. Let us know. I'm going to get it on the Nintendo Switch if they say, yes, it's a good time, because I think that will be the optimum way to play it.
Absolutely.
I agree. I'll get it on phone.
For sure.
Yes! Phone night. Anyway, Jackson.
What?
What have you been playing?
Oh, I recently, by which I mean like maybe a month ago, I don't know.
What are you looking at? You seem distracted. What's on your screen?
Nothing. You guys.
What's the download at?
The download...
20%.
Whoa!
Yeah, suck shit. No, so I've been playing a game, or I played a game called Operation Tango for the PC with a friend of the show, Adam Carnivale, mentioned
He's
earlier.
A lot today.
That was
Mr.
like two
Halo.
Weeks ago. That was not
a month ago. I can't. Who knows like how time progresses, Ethan? Man, it's hard to tell. So Operation Tango is a, I guess what you would call it, is a asymmetric co-op game, maybe?
A video game. That's what I call it.
it's kind of a video game.
I think asymmetric fits.
Yeah, so the basic premise, it's sort of a spy game, and the basic idea is that one of you plays the agent, and the other plays the hacker, and the agent will, more often than not, basically have like a first-person perspective. They'll be moving around like an environment. The two ones that we did, I think, were a train and like a loft, basically, on like a skyscraper, and then the hacker will have basically like a series of systems and like... tools and stuff at their disposal that kind of, I guess, function like little mini games or whatever. And they will have to communicate with the agent to get them through the various challenges that sort of are in the game or in each level. I think there are only six levels so far, and I think we did three, and definitely we want to do more in the future because it's a blast. Like, I love an asymmetric multiplayer game. I don't think there are enough of them out there. I think it's such a fun idea to because I went back and I watched Adam's because we streamed it, twitch.tv/JacksonBailey and twitch.tv/RetroArchetype.
There we go.
We streamed it, and I remember I went back and watched Adam's VOD, and it was just so different to anything that I had. And seeing the like miscommunications where I'm like, find this panel, open this, press this button, you need to turn it to this like number or whatever. And he's just looking at something where those instructions mean absolutely nothing to him. Like, just there was like one point where I'm like, open the case. And he's looking at this case full of keys, but I just meant another case somewhere else on the train.
God.
And I'm like, open the case. And he's like, I can't. And I'm like, Adam, I need you to open the case. The train was like running at a million miles an hour and about to crash. Oh. So we were on a time limit, which made it pretty frightening. So the loft level was like, it's kind of a hard game to describe, I suppose. So, for example, like a section that we came upon was there were a bunch of like a laser grid that Adam needed to get through, and I needed to disable the laser grid so that he could do it. And the way we did that is that there were four basically computers, and he would go to the computer, he would give me two numbers to dial a dial I had on my screen to, which would disable the lasers in that particular area of the grid. But the lasers were kind of constantly moving around the grid, so we had to be quick, and it was kind of a very fiddly, difficult thing to do. It's a weird game. I think, Dusha, watching you and Hayden play it would rule. Me and Adam, we communicated. We got we worked together to achieve our goal. You know what I mean?
I was, so you've mentioned that you were streaming this. I was in Adam's stream when this was happening, and I very much dispute.
My best.
You might have been doing your best, but Jackson, unfortunately, sometimes your best isn't good enough.
Yeah, look at your driving test, for one.
Yeah, that's true. great point. Yeah, but at least we would try to help each other. I imagine you and Hayden would be, like, literally antagonizing actively, one another. Yeah.
I would just like take a moment here to say that I just got a notification saying my internet is unstable, and I've never been angrier, because I'm not downloading Halo at the moment.
Look
I'm
how
not
smoothly
doing anything.
I'm moving, baby. I'm smooth as silk.
Oh, my God.
I wish that if there's one thing that I wish the game had that it doesn't is
battle bus.
So like at one point in the train level, right, Adam had to find a passenger on the train who was like our target, and he had to hack the guy's phone. And I had like a big map of the train, and I could see Adam moving around, and I had all this other information that I could give him to help him find this guy. Well, no. Well, see, the thing is, when Adam found the guy, I could see as a red dot who was like the big crime boss who was also on the train.
Yeah.
Noticed, like, I got a chat log that he was having with the guy where he's like, "You've been found out. Someone's hacking you," and that guy started to move toward Adam, and that was really exciting because I was like, "Adam, get out of there! Get out of there! He's coming for you! He's coming for you!" And Adam's like, "Who's coming for me?" And I'm like, "You gotta go! You gotta
the
go!"
The red dot!
I don't know the guy. And then Adam turned around and he's like, "Ah!" Because the guy was coming into his carriage of the train. But all it does is give you a game over, and I kind of wish that it could then. I think what it is that in those moments, those action moments, it becomes very apparent that actually it's just a pure puzzle game and not really like an action puzzle game. Like if in that moment the game could pivot and all of a sudden, you know, things have changed or whatever, and Adam now needs to have like a shootout with the guy or whatever, that would be fun. That would be exciting.
That would
rule. But it's not really that kind of game. And I think occasionally that happens and it becomes a bit like, not disappointing, but the consequences of failure aren't as much as you kind of would want them to be. It's just like,
if it was a really gratuitous death?
That would roll. That would be awesome. If Adam got shot and I, on my end, just got silenced because he died. And I was like, Adam, are you okay?
You got to pack up the Pelican case with the laptop and like get out of there.
Yeah, now it's like, get out of there, Jackson. The whole operation's been compromised. They're coming for you. That would be awesome. That would be super exciting.
So,
but
does it feel like there just should be more game after the game stops?
I think so. Pretty often it does. Not always, but yeah, quite often it does. So like the third level that we did, I was entirely in cyberspace for it. So
I was there for that.
That was crazy. I was like zooming down a cyber highway and I could like move left and right, and Adam had to unlock firewalls for me so that I didn't get desynchronized or whatever. And occasionally I'd fall into the like digital void. It was scary as hell. But because like that was basically, I guess, like a metaphor for like, or like a visual representation of us hacking like a complicated network or a system or whatever. And if we messed up, it wasn't like, oh no, you've been found out, the system's closing down, we've got to pivot, we've got to change. It was just oh, you messed up, you died, start again. And I'm like, well, that's fine, because I guess it's like it's an immediate punishment for failure. But I kind of, it's I guess really it ruined the immersion of it a little bit. And like there was, in a situation like that where I am in the network or whatever of this larger computer system, if I mess up, I want to get a notification that's like,
Your decisions have killed your friend.
Well, no, that's always funny. But I mean, like, you have been, like, they found you. They've noticed you're in the system. Now you've got to, I don't know, you've got to change what you're doing to hide yourself or, like, avoid the firewalls or whatever. But, like, ultimately, it kind of still just comes down to a puzzle. And that's fine. Like, it's... Yeah.
Death as a fail state, like the way you explain it, doesn't really sound like it makes sense of that sort of mission. Because it's not like, you haven't Timmy turned yourself into a computer and like you're jumping about.
Yeah, it should be like, oh no, they've noticed you, they're booting you out or whatever. And like there was in one section of that level, which was quite long and involved lots of different crazy sequences. But there was one section where if I failed, it was like Adam needed to give me like a series of numbers that I had to then input into a thing to help him. Like, you know, like there was like kind of that pivoting, but it just put you back on the main path and you just got to keep sort of carrying on. So, and I think so like
I was going to say, this is kind of the problem that like horror games sometimes have, which is like they can be scary, but once you realize the death as a consequence, if it's not that scary, then you're like, well, I don't care if it keeps happening now. Like I've lost the scare. Which is the same in this, like, you mess up,
well,
there's just a game over screen, but it happens immediately. There's no suffering put on you.
Yeah, and I think the most disappointing version of that was, so in the train level, right, we get to the end, and or like Adam hacks the thing, they stop at a station, the guy gets off, Adam tries to get off, I think, something like this, the door's shut, and the train just starts moving really quickly. And Adam's like, oh, the train, something went wrong. And I'm watching on my screen as the speed of the train dials up and up and up. And I'm like, Adam, the train's out of control. And he's like, what? And I'm like, it's going to crash. Get to the action. And so there was this really fun kind of high tension moment where Adam had to do all of these different tasks that I had to walk him through to shut down the train. And it rolled. Like, it was so exciting to be like, all right, go here. And Adam's like, I got to figure out, like, got to pour the different chemicals or whatever. Like, what are the rules, Jackson? It kind of had a bit of that, like, keep talking and nobody explodes feeling. Yeah. But he was in an out-of-control train or whatever. And I had down in the corner this timer that was slowly going down that was like, the train's going to overheat and explode. So I was aware of how long Adam had. He didn't. It was great. But then we messed it up at one point. And again, it just was like, you've messed up. He's dead or whatever. Nah. I try again. And I was like,
but the train didn't even explode?
Yeah, like, give me that. Give me, like, an exploding train. Give me, like, consequences. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then,
but
I think that's fine. It just means that when you're playing it, you got to really sort of suspend your disbelief and get into it. Otherwise, it won't be fun.
Feels,
you know what I mean?
Like, gamey. That's, like, a poor way to put it. It's a video game. But, like, feels a bit arcade-like.
Yeah.
I think what I recommend everyone do, if they want to add to the tension of this, is, all right, you're going to need to head to Google, and you're going to need to look up, I don't know, like, Goatsy or Pain Olympics, but minimize it straight away. Minimize the screen straight away. Yeah. You don't want to see that. But if you die in Operation Tango, you got to open that screen.
Yeah, you got to look at it. You got to look at it. You got to punish yourself for failure. Then it'll be bad. Then you won't want to lose. Or just have like a little thumbtack on your table next to you. And if you lose, just stab yourself in the leg.
Yeah.
No, look, it's great. Like, I had a great time playing it. I really love an asymmetric multiplayer game. I know there are others out there. There's even like a really early version of basically this that I think the creators of Operation Tango were really heavily inspired by. And the like hacker agent, like, those are great choices for
great
the
pair.
Two sort of. Yeah, it's a great pairing, and it is fun. It is fun being able to, like, I don't know, do all of those sort of spy things or hack your way in or whatever. And they do a good job of immersing or of making a lot of it feel like quite natural. And I don't know, they do a good job of immersion, but then at the same time, they kind of lose it here and there. I wish there were more games like this. And I wish that this game was more popular so that they could, like, you know, keep at it.
Operation Tango 2.
Yeah.
Good ideas for a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. We got
some great ideas. You die in the game, you stab yourself with a thumbtack in real life.
That's
the sequel title.
Goatsy
into the
game.
With a thumbtack like a rumble pack shipped with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, you got to play with the controller and the thumbtack just shoots straight out into your groin. That's cool. God damn it! What a good game!
Then, you know, you got to take it out and put it back in for the real experience next
God
round.
God damn it.
Did we just fix gaming?
Yeah, I think we did. Everybody's trying to make VR feel more, you know, realistic or whatever.
Thumbtacks.
Just the thumbtack pack. The tack pack. That's what you need.
The tack pack.
Killed it.
Obliterate your genitals whilst playing video games.
If you're gaming, you don't need them.
Yeah. I'd probably give this maybe 4 thumbs, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed it, and I keep thinking about those further 3 levels that... I want to get back to them. It's almost a shame that we did it streaming, because now when we do it again, we can't just be like, oh, Adam, do you want to, you know, whatever time, let's play it.
Well, why don't you just stream it again?
Well, I mean, that is the solution. You know what I mean? That's how you fix that problem.
Yeah. That also means that you stream again.
Yeah.
Which means that, like, that's also people like, oh, you're streaming. That's good.
People can see it. Yeah. Yeah. That is good. It is good to stream.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, I wish there were more consequences for death. And I wish that Adam could get shot in it, I guess. What have you been playing, Dusha?
This week or last week, recently-ish, Knights of the Old Republic came to the Nintendo Switch. Ooh. And I was like, I like that game. I should play it again. But instead of playing it again, I should play the other ports of games that I have from the same studio that are also on the Switch that I never touched after buying. So, I've been playing Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
Ooh. Oh, all right.
Which was a PC game that I loved as a child, I think. I can't remember what year it came out, but I was either like child or very early teen.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, it came out in 2018. Oh, no, I'm kidding. that was a little joke. Yeah.
That was a good little joke. Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, thank you. I have really fond memories of that game. I don't remember the missions and stuff like that super clearly, but I just remember how it felt, and like the lightsaber combat was cool, and I remember it being like the first game I played where I could design my own lightsaber. I wanted to be a Jedi with two lightsabers, I could do that, or a double-ended lightsaber.
Somebody
like Darth
stop
Maul.
Him.
That rolls.
Lots
good.
Of different force powers. Like, you could, like, force lightning people and whatever if you wanted, or force choke. Or you could just use some good people powers, like healing and stuff like that.
Very nice.
So I was like, you know what? I should probably play this on Switch. I bought it when it was on sale at some point and then just never played it. So I jumped back in. And all of the ports of these Star Wars games that were made for PC, and I am a little worried that Knights of the Old Republic will be similar to this. Mm. They still kind of feel like a PC game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the menus and stuff like that are strange, like, on a controller.
Right.
Once the game actually starts, it's not too bad. Because, like, Dark Forces 2 Jedi... No, Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast feels okay. Because it's, like, a first-person shooter, and we've kind of established that, like, twin-stick shooters and whatever, that's fine.
Mm. Yeah.
But because Jedi Academy is a third-person lightsaber thing... But there's still a, like, cursor on the screen where you're aiming, basically.
Oh, that's strange, yeah.
Which is fine. Like, when you were playing it originally, because you're using a keyboard and mouse, fine. Makes sense. Sort of. Weird, still. And again, we've moved past that. But at the time, we're like, oh, yeah, that's a good workaround.
Yeah,
now,
for sure.
Weird.
Especially on a Switch. That would be so strange. It would be so uncomfortable, yeah.
In a post-Jedi Fallen Order lightsaber combat world... Mm. Having a directional lightsaber combat sounds really clunky.
Yeah. What's a reticle? We've been through this before.
Reticle.
So there's just a reticle on the screen.
Mm. Yeah, that's weird.
Which is weird. The menus look really, really, really weird. Like, as in, like, they haven't been rendered. Not rendered. Like, the opening credits and stuff like that. Like, the like loading screens, basically.
Yeah.
Like, all of the... look like they've been, like, they haven't been remastered or whatever.
Oh,
they've just slapped those on, so they look
super
like they're
compressed.
But then when the actual
stretched,
but then when the actual game starts, it's fine. So you're like, weird.
Yeah.
So like these remasters were only like $15, so that's fine. Mm. And the game itself is still fun, but it's just like, I wish they had have just, you know, got into the code and fixed a couple of these things.
It kind of feels like, not like, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but you're like, you know, like what you're basically paying that money for is just to play it on the Switch. You're not really paying for like an upgrade. You're just like,
no,
well, now I can play it in a different place. So that's pretty good. Yeah.
So I am a little worried about Knights of the Old Republic, because that is like way more of like a PC type of game, at least originally.
How but I think that what's getting
does that cost though?
Yeah,
it's $18 full price.
Oh, okay. No, that doesn't bode well.
I think with that one, it's like a proper remaster, isn't it?
No, so that's a different one. What you're talking about is the PS5 game that's coming out in a couple of years.
Oh my god, too
many. That's like a full-on remake. Where this is just a port, but like an updated port, presumably. Hopefully,
it's got really good reviews. Knights of the Old Republic on the Switch, 83 on Metacritic.
Well, that is pretty
maybe
big.
It's good.
You know what?
That's maybe look, that's based. Yeah.
Maybe it's based. Maybe that is based.
Shut up.
Sheesh.
I'm hip, Ethan. I'm not 30. I'm actually 15, all right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Dude, that's lit.
Happy birthday.
I'm a 15-year-old boy. Yeah. Okay.
Well, because Knights of the Old Republic also originally launched on the Xbox, so I wonder if they like just ported that version, which they, you know, they're like, you're holding a controller. That would be nice.
Yeah,
cool.
I
think that's my biggest problem with these ports is it's like, the game doesn't feel like you're holding a controller.
That's terrible. That's absolutely never what you want. Yeah.
In my mind, it feels like you're playing Half-Life on a Switch or something. It's just It's not right.
Well, yeah, I think
it's a bit wrong.
Yeah. It's that weird thing as well where, like, a first-person shooter, I feel like, mouse and keyboard, it's the way you want to do it. That's the way it feels the best to play or whatever.
I'm going to play Halo with a controller. Yeah.
Playing Halo with a controller.
Well, that's fair as well.
You can be a freak on your own.
Yeah, I'll be a freak. I'll play with a mouse and keyboard. Thank you very much.
You'll be a 15-year-old freak boy.
Okay. But I feel like what I was going to say is it's weird to go from something designed for a mouse and keyboard to a... Like, yeah.
Because the gameplay is sort of built for, like, really high incremental movements.
Absolutely.
And then you get the really slow Joy-Cons with like dead zones and acceleration. It's just like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't feel
right. It just doesn't work.
One thing I can't remember with it, and I haven't played it enough to figure it out, and also because most, you don't need to do it, but there is like blaster deflection with the lightsaber. And I have a feeling you're meant to line up the the lightsaber with the bullet. With a mouse, easy.
Yeah.
With a controller, impossible.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You're going to brute force your way through this game without deflecting.
Yeah. And also, funnily enough, one of my best memories of this game when I played it on PC was installing a mod which made Yoda playable.
Oh, sick.
And then,
hell yeah.
I remember it was like press a key on like the numpad and that opened like Yoda mode. So your character got small and turned into Yoda. Like, literally turned into Yoda, and it was like an intense-ish mod where, like, Yoda's movement and stuff like that, because he was way shorter, like, it had been like a full-on proper mod installed, I guess. And then, at some point, I was like, it's made the game too easy, it's too tempting, so I'll delete part of it. But because I was an idiot kid, I didn't delete it properly. So anytime I pressed that button, the game kind of freaked out and then turned me into a stormtrooper. But it turned me into a stormtrooper and the game registered me as a stormtrooper. So none of the enemies attacked and I couldn't hurt the other enemies.
That's so sick.
That's so funny.
That's insane.
It was hectic.
Yeah.
Also, there was a multiplayer version where there was heaps and heaps of multiplayer mod skins you could get. So I also used to play multiplayer as Fierce Deity Link from Majora's Mask.
That's awesome.
That's good.
It was awesome. Anyway, this port, the game's fine. It feels old, but like I also
it is old.
$15.
So,
yeah. Look, like three thumbs and a knock. Like I'll go
it's
back
to
it and keep playing it. But also. Yeah, it didn't make Knights of the Old Republic an instant buy, which is what I was hoping. But you've convinced me with your 83 on Metacritic. I'm just going to buy it. It's $18. That's like the price of a hot dog.
That's the price of an esports themed hot dog, dude.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our reviews out of the way. So let's get to the best part of the episode. That's right.
Oh, how sweet it is.
Yeah, that's it. It's the goddamn advertisements.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare,
a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mm. Yeah, good stuff.
It's good ads.
Great ads.
Really good this time.
And now, let's just quickly open up the inbox. People can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. And Jackson,
what?
We've recorded Thumb Cramps in a weird way in the last 2 weeks, so as you can probably imagine, the inbox is scattered because we haven't really given people enough time to listen to last week's episode before recording this one.
Yeah, it's been strange. Yeah.
So last week, if you were listening, the episode we recorded with Pepper from IO Interactive, which was a funny get, full stop.
Hell yeah.
We revealed that we'd recorded that episode like 2 or 3 days after doing the previous Thumb Cramps.
Yeah.
This one is recording the same day that episode came out, so you haven't listened to it yet, audience. So our inbox dry, and it's our own fault.
Yeah.
It's chaos. We'll get back to our normal stuff eventually. Anyway, here's a couple of emails that we do have. So this first email is from Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
The subject is 2 questions.
Okay.
Oh. Hey, Thumbos, just wondering if any of you have actually finished the Red Dead Redemption 2 story, and if so, what ending you got?
Bet.
It is one part of the story where actions have consequences. Another question is, what are your opinions on Lego games? 2 very different questions there, Marcus.
Yeah, but perfect for me.
Yeah. You picked a good episode to have that question answered. Yeah,
absolutely.
I will answer the half of the question that I am capable of answering, and that is that the Lego Star Wars games are sick.
Yeah.
I haven't played the other games, though.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's
I agree.
Yeah, I love them. I love the I used to play the Lego Star Wars games when I was a teenager, and they were always good. They were the games that I would go to a specific friend's house and be like, "Let's play Lego Star Wars," and he would like, "I want to play something else, Jackson," and I would be like, "This is my one chance, dude."
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm be huge on Lego Star Wars. I had Lego Indiana Jones on the DS. I have Lego Harry Potter. Love that one. That's a good one. That's like like 7 different games.
Yeah,
we had
exactly.
someone email in last week that hated all other Lego games except Lego Harry Potter because all of them were just trying too hard to be Lego Harry Potter.
That's a great opinion. That's awesome.
I'm with them. And on Red Dead. The Red Dead part. Yeah. Beat that. Clock that. I think I spent 80 hours before I beat that story. I mean, it was 2018. I was in second year of uni. I had nothing else to do. That's the coast year.
Yeah.
And I got the good ending because I'm a good boy. I couldn't be mean to anyone if I tried in that game. Arthur Morgan's too nice.
I did the complete opposite, but I also didn't finish it because I got bored. But I played a murderous, terrible, violent, evil Arthur Morgan. I had a big, long beard, and I was shirtless, and I just knifed everyone to death. I played a full-on monster, and it ruled. But doing that, because I always play the bad guy in a video game when they let me, because no video game ever wants you to. So it was always very funny when my Arthur Morgan would was just like a full-on monster, like a bad guy, and then people would be like, "There's good in you, Arthur Morgan." And I'd be like, "Wait,
and you're covered in blood, having
face, you seen me,
knife in hand.
There's no good here."
Look, I might be wrong, and I feel like this is definitely the type of game where people will correct me, but I'm pretty sure one of the Knights of the Old Republic games, like both of those, let you pick light or dark side. But I think it's canon in one of them that your character is dark side.
That's good. That's
so
great.
Technically, the game's meant to make you play bad.
It's so rare. It's rare for a game to let you do it. And Red Dead 2. Always can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Red Dead 2, you can play bad, but it's hard to stay bad on the honor meter. You've really got to work at it. Like, you pat your horse a couple times and you're in the clear. So
that's why my horse's cores were always very low. Yeah. Every time I got off the horse, I'd put a throwing knife in its head to make it a unicorn. And I'd go off and slit throats, you know? I had a really low honor. I was not loved. Yeah.
You were a dishonorable man. A real slimy piece of shit fella.
Arthur Morgan, excuse me, sir, can you help me get home? Shut that.
Enjoy heaven, your real home.
My God.
I should go back to doing that. That was good. Yeah.
It's a good game.
That is good.
I like that game.
This next email, and this is something that we sort of get a lot sent to us, or at least tweeted at us. This is in the form of a question, so we can finally address it once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jackson, you'd be aware of that Joe Exotic Steve Irwin
Sure.
Like Steve Irwin is Mario, Joe Exotic is Wario.
For sure.
Pete from the, to quote themselves, not so United Kingdom.
Sure.
Asks what our thoughts are on casting a celebrity Wario.
Oh.
It's a good question, because Wario, as we know, has not been cast in the upcoming Mario movie. A celebrity Wario. Well, John Leguizamo, I think, would be a pretty good Wario off the top of my head. Mm. I think he.
On the,
I think
on
he'd
the back
do it
of
well.
His performance in the 1997
as Luigi.
Yeah.
No, 95 he was Luigi. 97 he was Luigi. The Pest.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. I think he. I think he'd do a good Wario. I think he could. He could really.
In the opening song in The Pest, which is opens in like a long musical number with many racial stereotypes and horrible weird jokes. He also pretends to do a bunch of farts in the shower. And that's pretty Wario.
That's pretty.
See what it looks like today. Yeah,
picks his nose.
I feel like a great pick for Wario has already been cast in that movie in Jack Black as Bowser.
Yes,
could
Black
he do
make
both?
An excellent Wario. Yeah,
and Wario, same guy.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would work out.
Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill as Wario and Waluigi would have been pretty good.
That would
True. Yeah. True. Mm.
Who's
get
the
Leonardo DiCaprio as Wario?
Who's
bring
the
some
oldest,
gravitas.
Wheeziest actor you can think of who would want to be there the least?
Bruce Willis. Brucey boy.
That would be a hit.
He'd loathe every second of it.
Absolutely.
You know? And but he'd do it because that's what he does with movies these days.
Yeah.
Final pick.
Million dollar day.
Yeah, whatever. He doesn't care. What? He'll just go in there, give the weakest performance of his life, and go home. Final pick, Daniel Day-Lewis. Because method act the shit out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd really immerse himself in what it means to be Wario.
I'd say chuck Gary Busey in there and just let him say stuff.
Yeah.
Don't get
he's scriptless. The rest of them, they got a script, not him. Yeah.
Bring
just
back
shake
James
him
Gandolfini from the dead to play Wario.
Yeah, that's
a good
pick.
I guess
that's
his son's
really
in the many states of Newark playing him, so maybe his son.
Who's the guy from The Departed and also Black Widow and also the dad in Transformers?
Yeah, that guy. I can't remember his name, but I know
put
the
him in
guy
there.
You mean.
He looks
Wario-like. What about Al Pacino?
Oh, Pacino!
I'm Wario!
It's me, Wario!
Wario's gonna win!
That'd be good. It's easy to imagine Wario saying hoo-ah when he gets like some coins in Mario Party.
Yeah.
Now, Jackson, to bring us home, we've got an email that is just to make you happy and a reveal that's just to make you unhappy. What do you want first?
I'll take them both at once.
Get him high so he crashes harder.
Yeah, no, hit me high so I crash low. Yeah, Ethan's right.
Okay, so we got an email from Woody, and I ignored it last week when I saw it, but because of something I want to show you, I'll read it out this week just to bring you up. Subject, and this is from Woody, your favorite Banjo-Kazooie noises, and then the email just says, do them again.
That does make me happy. I love when we do our Banjo-Kazooie noises.
I'm going to let you all know now I have not played Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I have no idea what you're doing. Actually, want to hear my Banjo impression?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, I'm Banjo. Want to hear my Kazooie?
I would like to hear your Kazooie.
Can you give us your Kazooie real quick?
What's your Kazooie like?
Ethan, just hit us with your Kazooie real quick.
Dude, give us your Kazooie. Kazooie, come on.
Dude. Okay.
Hurry up, man.
Hey, I'm Kazooie. Hey, I'm Kazooie.
Oh, my God.
Get me out of this damn backpack, man. Hoo-ah.
Oh, I'm Kazooie.
Yeah.
And then, Jackson, what I just want to reveal to upset you deeply is this that I purchased today.
No! Oh, shit. Dude just got that premonition for the Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah.
The one that runs at 15 frames a second and still looks bad.
So, Jackson, Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise, is now owned by me. And I'm pretty close to you, and Nintendo Switches can travel to the studio in which we record, so...
Oh.
You want to kill me, dude? You know, you want to be responsible for the murder of one 15-year-old boy? Is that what you want on your conscience?
Yeah.
Don't you get to skateboard in that game?
Maybe, but that's unfortunately, Jackson, game, oh. If you just look at the classification...
15 plus! I was nearly out!
You're a 15-year-old boy!
Nearly out. God damn it. God damn it. This is... This
to
is
quote
like
our favorite Mario, just as I think I'm out, they get me back.
Ooh-ah!
Mario.
This is like when somebody tweeted that Deadly Premonition was available to me, you, and Lena. And people gotta... You gotta leave me alone, okay? Don't put me back in. I can't handle it. Alright? That game was so much...
Yeah, but what if the second one's really good? We'll have to find out when
we'll
we play
have to
it.
Find out.
It's set we'll in New Orleans, apparently. Why? Norlands. The first one wasn't.
Yeah, I gotta switch it up for the sequel, man. Bigger
I don't know
and better.
If it is set in New Orleans. The countryside town of Le Carre take the role of FBI Special Agent York and uncover the truth that lies beneath this seemingly beautiful place. Using the detective's unique skills, prepare to solve the mysteries of the Le Carre. That second time didn't even really say words. Serial murders.
Wow.
The cult classic mystery thriller returns.
Dude, I don't know, man.
It's in Louisiana.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I could go
that's
back.
A good
I don't
setting.
Know. I feel like I gotta see a doctor before I do any of this. You know
it's
what
on
I mean?
The edge of the Mississippi River.
Oh. I don't know where that is.
I found out that Deadly Premonition for the PC, like, it exists.
Yeah.
Mm.
But all of the reviews are like, this is crazy, all right? Like, you can't really appreciate how much I loathe this game, okay? I think it's one of the worst games ever made. I hate it every second of it. But let me read you some Steam reviews. There is a reason why Deadly Premonition is a cult classic. By all gaming standards, the game is not very good. However, once you spend some time in Greenvale, just like York, you will love it so much you do not want to leave. That's incorrect. One of those games that's 10-10 in memory. Greatest game of all time. Childhood favorite on the Xbox. Fantastic.
That's bold.
This game is a cool story with interesting characters. No, it isn't. That's not true.
Jackson. The Sinner's Sandwich.
Are you allowed to just lie on Steam? Are you allowed
to
do
dude.
That?
They let you do that.
Why did you should write a negative review?
Should be like, have any of you played this game? How are you still alive?
I played this game, and every time someone brings it up, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at thumbcramspod@gmail.com. That's the best way to find us. Today's episode was, what, 5 thumbs from Ethan, then 1 thumb from Ethan for the battle pass. But then I'm going to give 5 thumbs to thinking about the battle boss.
Yeah,
so
that's
11
fair
thumbs. Jackson, your game was 4 thumbs, so that's 15 thumbs, and then 3 thumbs and a knock from me. That brings it to a whopping 18 and a half thumbs.
Ooh.
18 thumbs and a knock.
Beautiful.
Obviously, the appearance of Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise, brings it up to 100 thumbs.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Another award-winning, great episode.
We're graced by his
and
presence.
On that note, I have been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Ethan.
And Ethan, where can we find you?
You can find me at EtherTaylo, EtherTaylo. It's very easy to spell, very hard to say, on Twitter and Twitch and Instagram. And also, I may as well plug this because development has gone quite well recently. I am making a video game.
Ooh.
It is a short little horror experience. You don't do much in it, but I'm proud of it, and
that
I spent way too much time on it. So go over to ethantaylor.itch.io and chuck me a follow because I'm hoping to get it out before November's end, maybe start of December. It's called Vestigium, and it's a little atmospheric horror thing.
That rolls.
PS1 style looking.
Oh, I love that shit.
There's some images up
that's
there. Check it out.
Sick. And just finally, before we say farewell, Jackson, what percentage are we on?
We're on.
Yes, please.
76%.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't do it. Tried your best, and you failed. Yeah. And
that's
in many ways,
sometimes.
That is thumb cramps.
I'm still thinking about how every enemy in Deadly Premonition says, I don't want to die on repeat again and 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 again.
Hey. Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.